2020. So anyway, the Coins Plus model that I started with a long time ago for the benefit of the customer and even my own is honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. And I'll tell you folks, that matters in our industry. We're currently in a process right now of basically catching a guy for a fair amount of theft from us. And there's another dealer in town who is helping him fence, knowingly fence, stolen items. And it's just, it's like one-on-one thieves. And so I'll just tell you, this business has so many crazy, weird spins to it. I've been around it a long time, and there's a lot of wealth in a compact amount of space, and there's, I just think with man, humans, I'm starting, as time goes on, to learn more and more and more about it, and it's sad to say, but many, many people, when you put them in a certain situation, their integrity is lacking. And they will do things when the opportunity arises and they think they won't get caught or the impulse drives them too hard or whatever it is. I don't understand. But we're committed to honesty, integrity, and professionalism all the time. And so it matters. It matters and it matters. I'm telling you, this business, there's right now people are really loading up on metals, including billionaires. And I mean all of it. Central banks, all of them, regular banks, all of them, financial institutions, all of them, they're manipulating the futures market, which is on the COMEX, the Commodities Exchange, which was put into effect in 1913 when they started the Federal Reserve Act, when they dishonored all constitutional forbiddance, if you will, of a direct income tax. A direct tax. Our founders wrote that it was a form of slavery. So, you know, they started the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, at which point they added the 16th Amendment to our Constitution, contradicting the very Constitution itself, adding income tax. And you know, last year, folks, the government collected more revenue than any time in history in taxation. And guess what? Hyperinflation, they keep creating currency like it's going out of style. Our interest alone, just on our deficit, and you have to understand the difference between debt and deficit, okay? So we have debt and deficit, and if you go to U.S. Debt Clock, I think it's .org, you'll see this monstrous contraption of debt just racking up. Our national deficit is in the top left, 31.15 trillion. Ka-ching. And then you go down, and then, but that's a lot. Right, that's just currency that's been created. It's called M3 money. And that equates to about $1 million for every man, woman, and child, roughly whatever it is, in America. And then you go down to other debt, unfunded liabilities, and they've moved around. I just went to it a little bit. Let's see here where I can find a trade deficit, U.S. debt held by foreign nations, how about that, $7.5 trillion we owe to other nations, we have $34 trillion and this is unfunded liabilities, Social Security, we owe $22 trillion, Medicare, this is in addition, the deficit is just money that's out there, that's what creates hyperinflation. It's fake, it's phony, it's made from thin air. This is why we have hyperinflation. And I mean hyper, you know, they're saying 10%. I've explained on the show over and over, they use the Consumer Price Index, which is now pretty much an artificial index, because the Clintons, it's not a Reagan, I always want to say that because I don't want to be impartial, but the Clintons removed the majority sectors of food, transportation, real estate, and energy stocks. Why do you store stocks? Energy expense. Why do you suppose that they did that. I mean, think about it. What do you, as a human being, an average human being, spend the majority of your money on? Food, transportation, real estate, and energy. That's how you live. It's 85% of the disposable income of the average American, okay? So they removed the majority of that. They left little clones of each sector, so it still sort of exists, but it really doesn't. And so when they say 10%, boom, you need to at least double it. We are in one of the most extreme hyperinflationary periods in the history of our nation, and especially in modern America. This is all Marxist madness. I was listening to this stupid interview from Bernie Sanders today that he did, I think, over the weekend on CNN, and he's like, if you don't know Bernie Sanders is, he's a socialist moron, he's an old guy, he's just full of baloney. He's not honest, the thing about having the Lord, the thing about being a conservative and technically, hypothetically, a Republican, is you hopefully see truth, okay? I mean, I'm so politically, counterpuffed, I don't speak the truth. The point of the Republican Party, and throughout history, I mean, the Democrats fought to keep slavery, they've just done, they're the ones that have pushed these mad wars, the Vietnamese, Vietnam War, all this stupid stuff. It's crazy, all this, LBJ and the war on poverty after JFK gets killed. JFK was the last great Democrat. In days of yore, they really did kind of fight for the working man. And what happens is they found a period of victory through the unions and all this stuff because they were fighting for the working man. And so they just kept it going and going and going and going. Well, we need to fight for the working man. But that's what conservatives do. What did Donald Trump do? You know, every time there's a problem, what do the Democrats do? Whatever they're spending money to collect it. You watch, Biden, the border issue. Trump had the border sealed up tight. Good job. And now it's like, we had a border spending bill. Watch for those words. Spending bill. Whenever you have a problem, you need a spending bill. Why? How about you enforce the laws we have? You know, the bigger the expenditure, the bigger the government, and the bigger the mess. We are officially under a bureaucratic Marxist tsunami taking over our government. Nearly figured out not as long as the Department of Education is in power and these radical propaganda spewing left-wing media outlets. I'm sorry, folks, but media and academia, I talked about this clear back on Obama, saying this is going to come and get us. I mean, I have transcripts written up that if I were to tell my dig out called the Great Deception and all this stuff about how if they spin and they deceive and they knock you back and you have all these foolish people on these social media outlets, only a certain number of people, if people are listening to the Christian radio like you are, you basically are gaining two things. I mean, one, you know the Lord, that's kind of a bonus, obviously, but also you're seeking wisdom and truth. But people who are getting their information from social media, thrive on hype, and I've come to the conclusion, as I've mentioned, the oldest nation on earth is China. They have the yin-yang, and you have the black on one side, the red on the other, and there's an S in the middle because each side's pushing into the other, but within the red there's a black circle, and within the black there's a red circle, so there's always good and evil planted inside of those things, but there's this continuous struggle that is never going to end until Christ comes back. So you have to fight, and you have to pick your sides, and we're going in, or heading, maybe even rapidly, if not more, into the harshest time in the history of the greatest nation on planet Earth. there, boys and girls, you need to just accept this stuff. The deception is so great. I was listening to, like I said, to Bernie Sanders, and he spins, and they throw these horrible softball questions, and they said, do you accept the criticism of Joe Biden's, inflationary blah, blah, blah? And he goes, no, of course, it's a softball question. His answer is, well, there is inflation all over the globe. He goes, Germany, and I remember who else, Denmark, I don't know, all these countries that Bernie Sanders is always using as examples of how great they are. All of a sudden, our problems too, and he goes, well, they're 10%, and the UK is 10%, and, he goes down this list, it's like, wait a minute, these are socialist economies, why are they 10%? The truth is because, as Revelations 18 says, it's referring to the mystery of Babylon, but it also talks about that they became rich from our luxury, but the word luxury is stratos. And if you go into the Greek, it means forced money. Forced money is fiat currency. Now, fiat currency has fed the globe. Now we're in a hyperinflationary series. The left-wingers know it. Biden couldn't balance a checkbook if his life depended on it. And at the same time, so what he does is just has a new spending bill, spending bill. Trump did keep it low, and I'm not going to give him a break now, but at the same time, he was turning it inward so that the money stayed home. He wanted to do infrastructure, they thought about it, and then they say, we're going to do an infrastructure bill. What does that mean? That's going back to because they admire FDR. And FDR did the CCC. What FDR did is he took everyone down to bankruptcy, except the rich, of course, they always stay rich, and he destroyed the middle class as much as he could, and forced people to work for the government. Do you think that was our father's intent? I'm going to go with not, okay? So he forces people to work for the government, and then he does these major projects, which were nice, because we were not internationally bound like we are now. And we built bike bridges and some coal dams and stuff, and that's a little beneficial bonus. But the problem is he did it with slave labor because people were not getting paid squat. And, I could go off on different tangents, craftsmanship today. If you go to Library of Congress and you look at that stuff, you look at the quality of construction we used to do, it's untouchable, unfathomable. Europe is over the top, blowing your mind, quality from days of yore. And I'm telling you, we had that fever, and now we're building sheet rock boxes with 1x4 inch trim that you get made out of pine, painted white, and this is the new look. The new look on houses is the simple look. I like the simple look, people say. And so what it is it's sheet rock, paint 2 walls white, 2 walls white. There's no woodwork, there's no crown molding, there's no quality base molding. You don't have the detail, the woodwork, there's no big beautiful railings, everything's simple and ugly, and it's all precast garbage. You're in trouble. The cost of housing has gone through the roof, and the quality's bouncing off the floor, if not puncturing the floor. How do you bounce out of this? FDR started this process, and at the time he did it, there was still some craftsmen floating around, and during that era, there was some pretty phenomenal things built, etc. Now we're stripping that away. We're stripping the wealth of this nation away, and it's hard to comprehend that creating currency like it's going out of style would destroy wealth if you don't comprehend it. It is hyperinflation. And as I was saying, you look at, how about this one? Currency and credit derivatives, okay? $611 trillion. Those are hedges. That is an insurance. Those are hedges against failure. And a lot of them have a multiplicate design to them. And I don't get into all that mathematically, but I will tell you this. That is a problem. I destroy everything and when things swing unexpectedly, we have had our insurance companies with COVID and this hurricane that hit Florida, they're bankrupt. You know, we're going to have a new bailout. Someone the other day, I talked to called it the bail-in. Call it what you want. It's a bailout. It's the too big to fail. Do you really think our founders ever foresaw a day where we would have, where we would say, well, that company, which they didn't even have at the time, corporate law, like we knew, that corporation's too big to fail. So the government has to bail it out. And then you've got Biden coming out this weekend against what's called gig workers, G-I-G. I don't know what this was. What is a gig worker? A gig worker is the kind of person that does like Uber or Lyft or DoorDash. It's a job-by-job private contractor that goes out and makes $28 on this job and $26 on that one and $42 on that one. So Biden comes out with a law. He wants to pass a bill to make gig workers, to force companies like Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and all these companies that subcontract individuals, which, by the way, the people that are doing Uber and Lyft tipple, they're getting ripped off. A lot of people don't understand. They go out and get a new car and a new payment, and it's a nice car, and they're locking up the miles, and they're looking at what they're making, and they're calculating off their gas mileage, but they're not calculating maintenance, and they're certainly not calculating depreciation, which is, in and of itself, another form of bail mess coming. Because people have 200,000 miles on four-year-old cars. Well, that destroys the value right there. And they're buried in debt. Folks, get ready for the next year. It's coming. But he comes out with this bill against gig workers saying they have to be employees, and the reason is why. All because he favors unions, and he's trying to do the bidding for these unions who have and will get him in the office again and again and again. Unions have become a form of corruption, folks, that is just heinous. It's out of control. They're out of control, and they're not necessary anymore. Unions force the government to pass all these labor laws. Everything the unions fight for is already law. But they have to create chaos. What you don't understand with unions is that they're keeping wages down, not up. They're not allowing free market. They're saying you will pay this and you will pay that. And guess what? They don't know that people market adjusted income. It's always a little bit of lift, a little bit of boost, a little bit of raise, just a little bit. Keep them hungry, keep them wanting. Create chaos all the time is what they do. They want that, they need that, they desire that, because then you need them. You're never quite comfortable, you're not getting by. Free market capitalism works itself out. We're in the middle of full-throttle socialism. The left, and I know this is so political, but you know, I started to show years back, some wealth, just money, just talking about money. And then we got this president named Barack Hussein Obama, white American man, right? And all of a sudden politics became, and economics became intertwined. Well, as you get into politics and economics and you study the man, here comes religion. Because he was definitely Islam. Despite the media, if you eliminate all the lies the media tells you, things are simply easy to comprehend. So all of a sudden I'm talking about politics, economics, and religion because the three become one. And as I mentioned on the show, my parents came from the era that you don't wear your religion on your shirt sleeve and you don't discuss politics, religion, or money with people. Because they are the three most important things in the world. You know, he who is faithful with little will be given much. God blesses us. He's good. He wants us to be prosperous. I promise you, I'm not. I always have to say I'm not mean it and clean it, and I'm not. But God is a good God. Look at where you live. You live in a land of superior abundance. There's tons of wealth out there. You just have to know how to acquire it, and you gotta know how to save it. And the most important thing is so many people don't save and preserve their wealth and capital. They get sucked into the stock market and the, you know, all these equities and 401ks and IRAs and bonds, and it's just paper, paper, paper. It's not God's money. God made gold and silver the primary force of money, hard assets. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones, those are biblically accredited and it's true wealth, nothing else is, period. That's how wealth is accumulated, true wealth. You load it up, you lock it down, and it's yours. No one can hypothetically take, they can always take it away, but it's not like you can just have poof, it's gone, yeah. You know, when I've been around, I was talking to a relative this weekend who's been involved in a certain aspect of real estate development at a high level when the market was exploding and it was making crazy money because it was all percentage driven, and we talked about the pendulum that swings. I'm very, very familiar with the pendulum. I've been watching this since the 80s. You know, you got hyperinflation in the 80s, you got the early 90s crash of assets, you got the dot-com craze in the late 90s, everything gets crazy, things start coming down, a whole bunch of people are in trouble for crooked behavior, and boom, you get 9/11 conveniently after they create their project for a new American century, and then down it goes in 2001, and then what everyone does what they just did during COVID, and they go, I don't know why, but they run out and they got to buy real estate and assets and things get crazy. And then in the mid to late 2000s, boom, 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 up we go. And then what happens? The 08-09 quasi-crash. Why? Because Obama was running for office and we had a left winger. Both the up and the down, you know, is instigated by these fools, and then you get the 08-09-10 crash, and then the big short, they call it, and then what happens? Then we start slowly creeping up and climbing. Now we know, peak. Be prepared for the skydiver to come. This has been the longest run ever, but what happens over time, the central banks become smarter. Just as the devil learns you, us humans, over time, you get smarter. Now we've got transgenderism and all this stuff. Now, I think he's gotten a lot smarter, and when I say that, I think, well, there is always the Sodom and Gomorrah situation. But I think that was a lot more simplistic. This is quite the system. And his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. What is the Democratic Party's desire? Steal, kill, destroy. Godliness is the conservatives. Godlessness is the liberals. It's given to change. As Solomon said to his son, do not be attracted to people who are given to change. That's an interesting scripture. He tells him not to be involved with people that always want to modify and change everything. And I was reading some speeches this weekend from our founders about that. You gotta stick with what works. We've got a great republic. We've got a solid system. In the meantime, is there a chance we'll recuperate? You have to always pray and have hope. The Bible tells us if we don't have hope, we got nothing. You gotta have hope. Believe in us as a nation, as a system, but you gotta be willing to stand up and fight. How do you fight? You talk, you think, you articulate, you intellectualize, you need to know your stuff, and there's a lot of people I know that doesn't come real natural for. So, simplify your lines and don't get sucked off into different directions. Evil throws out shrapnel. It's like if you watch the movie Maverick, you know, Top Gun Maverick, the new one, and it doesn't matter if you watch it or not, when jets are being pursued by other jets, to shoot, they shoot out shrapnel flares. The flares deflect and distract from the torpedoes or whatever you want to call them, from the missiles, rockets, whatever they are. And they have the rockets and missiles blowing up all over the place because they're trying to attack, but the flares, the shrapnel is distracting them. This is an economy use technique by the left. So Zelensky tried to explain it. He said, you always keep them off guard, you always change the topic and the subject, you always stick to topics and subjects that the enemy, they call us, doesn't understand or know. Don't buy into it when they throw you these hardball questions, or they bring up something you know nothing about. At best, or worst, whichever way you look at it, ask questions to clarify what they're talking about, and I guarantee you, once you have a clear perspective on what they're talking about, God, you, and the Bible have an answer. Truth is truth. Truth is simple. You talk to any interrogator. Truth is simple. They know it. Truth is simple. Interrogators tell you when someone tells you the truth, it's a simple story. Lies become complex and confusing. And they take people around and around and around the circle, and every time the story changes. And that's why they'll go on and you know, it doesn't matter. Everything that happens is someone else's fault. They never take responsibility. They don't take accountability. They lie. You know, they come out and take credit for things they didn't do. I mean, we're seeing this at the most extreme level ever. The Bible talks about the spirit of mankind in the end times, and it sounds real evil. But today, we're there. We live in that era. And, the difficult thing that I was talking about, when you start going down this deal, 92 trillion in currency and credit, derivatives that was 611 trillion in currency and credit derivatives now. And they showed that in 2000, that was 92 trillion. So basically, you know, that's a multiple of what, 6-7 times. And then you go down, US debt held by foreign governments, I said that 7.5 trillion, Social Security, 22 trillion. Medicare, 22.2, Medicare, 34.6 trillion, U.S., this is what I like, U.S. unfunded liabilities, $172 trillion. Liability per household, it says, this is on U.S. debt card. If you go to usdebtclub.org, liability per citizen, this is not a deficit, that's an additional thing, $516,000 per citizen in unfunded liabilities. Family of four, that puts you over $2 million. I think you get my point. Personal debt per citizen, just in interest, is $71,000 per citizen. I mean, when I go through this whole thing, folks, we owe over $1 million plus for every man, woman, and child in America. The only reason that this thing still has some smoke to it is because people believe in the system. They believe in the money. If I hand you a Federal Reserve note, you go overthinking. Because you know you can turn around and spend it elsewhere. How long will that last? I mentioned earlier the devil gets smarter, the banks have gotten smarter, the banks have, you know, done the different clashes, and now they've learned how to fleece our wealth, they've learned how to make endless currency while they bankrupt you. And they are bankrupting you. They're stealing your wealth. And what I said at the beginning was that they are using precious metals. That is the only asset that matters. There is real estate, don't get me wrong. But you are not a, you know, HIBOR central bank mortgage lender so that you can acquire assets. This is what they did in the Great Depression. They had everyone so strapped in debt that they finally went broke and they started to take all the assets. Those assets went to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is the most profitable corporation in the world, and it lost your $210 billion in published income revenue. Net revenue, that's money in their pocket. But that's also with them undervaluing assets, which is a typical corporate thing. In their case, they undervalue the assets they own, so they reduce whatever. And the Federal Reserve doesn't pay taxes. I mean, folks, this is a mess. And I know it gets a little negative, and I'm sorry, but I'm alarmed. I mean, you can probably tell. I am legitimately alarmed with our status as a nation, because as goes America, so goes the world. As we head into oil, gas, and electricity prices are up 40%. Well, they tell us inflation's 10, but I say it's really at least 20, who cares, it's too much, it's a lot. There is a serious problem here, and this problem is going to get to each and every one of us in one way or the other. So what do? I basically tell you precious metals. I'm telling you precious metals. That the core assets, the real record. God said it, just trust him. I've gone over it enough times, and there's plenty more where that came from, but the values, because of the manipulation, are subdued, and they're good, great, phenomenal, incredible. I have done this a long, long time, and I've heard people when the market runs hard going, holy jeez, and I'm telling you, I'm with you. I'm that guy that always hopes I'll go a little bit lower, just a little bit lower, but then a little bit lower is never enough. So you either believe in the asset or you don't. If you believe in the asset, you just help them. You just say, you know what? God said it, I believe it. It's good enough from Genesis 2 all the way to the end of Revelation. It's in heaven. There's countless accounts of what it's true wealth. Turn your money over, 401ks and hours I started on the other day. Tax procrastinating is all you're doing. You've been duped. I got duped when I was a young buffalo kid. You think it's cool you got this money, you can't access it, they got penalties, and then all you, if you want a chunk of it, now you're paying a higher tax bracket than you would when you put it in there, because when you put it in there, it's just a few percent of your income. And most of the listeners, I would assume, aren't making like $500,000 a year. They're making more than that, you know, under $100,000 a year. And so they hit it, you know, Trump raised the thresholds and lowered the tax brackets a little bit of further. But, you know, what costs you 6 or 8% tax or 10, now it costs you 27 to pull out, but what's worse, is Biden has this plan ready to roll out after the election to raise tax brackets as much as 20%. It's coming. And so then, that's the problem with the 401k. You may save tax, you think, while you're putting it away, and then it's gone. Now you owe bigger. Do you really want that? I'd say not. You don't want that. So get it out of there. If you're under 59.5, you do have a penalty. And so there's different ways to deal with that. One is to stop contributing, or if your employer gives you a percentage, take the percentage, get vested, and get it out of there, and get it in the precious metals. I'm not saying this just because I sell them. I'm saying it because I know money. Wealth and capital preservation is the key. You don't even, maybe some of you do, but most of you don't know what it feels like to lose the vast majority of your holdings. I talk to people all the time going, boy, I'd like to get in the metals, but you know, I put $50 down, $40,000. It's like, when did you start building it? 1998 or whatever. And it's like, it's not down, it went way up. And it's coming back, but it's going to come back even lower. It's crashing up. If you've listened to me for a long time, I've said the market will crash up through hyperinflation. You don't worry about all that. If you are pulling your money out of a paper, I guess you call it digital investment, putting it in metals, metals are artificially subdued right now too. It's a great buying opportunity. It's crazy because the supply is almost virtually non-existent. The demand is higher than I've ever seen. I've mentioned we've been around almost 3 decades. We've developed some beautiful relationships. We have product that no one else does. I don't completely understand it. But I know it's true and it's good and I'm glad we've got it. Most of the time, and if we don't, it's here within days. We've got it coming in like a river, unlike anyone else I know of. Online, we're better than any of the major online retailers. You're always going to have a better price with us, but even online, some of these companies are fundamentally dishonest. They're not telling you. They're letting you send your money, and they're not telling you. They don't have the metal in stock. I've had people call 8-10 weeks out from when they, quote, invested, and they still haven't received their product, but their money's gone, so that company's sitting on their money. We will never do that to you. Coins Plus will never do that to you. You are secured the minute we agree. And I say that because if you send a check on Tuesday and we don't get it till Thursday, you're not locked in. In some cases, till Thursday. There are cases where I'll pay on Tuesday over the phone, but it's usually based on a long-term relationship of trust, and you do not chase cheap cheap. Folks, there's a poverty mentality that will consume you. If you're fighting spending money or using it or investing it, you're always looking for the cheaper. I already know what your house looks like. I know what kind of car you drive. I know how you live your life. Is that how God wants you to live? If you live cheap and tight and squeezy, you're not going to get blessed because you're not being faithful as well. If you trust in the Lord that He provides your money, then you spend it not like a fool, but like He provides it. You hire people to do things instead of, you know, so many people try to do everything themselves. And they end up not finishing a lot of projects and doing a bad job and things aren't right and they keep, you know, around the house or yard or landscape, whatever. And they just keep on digging a grave and they're not like, how is this? I'm trying to squeeze my money. And live as simplistically as I can and yet I just keep sliding deeper and deeper into poverty. There's so much crazy psychology about this. If you live as if with an abundance mindset, not again, not foolish, you're not out being a crazy man and buying stuff you can't afford. But if you do that stuff, if you live like God is real, He comes to your side. If you live like it's all you. And by the way, we do have personal accountability, don't get me wrong, financial behavior. is the number one indicator of your heart's condition, which applies to what I'm saying. Cheap and tight, is that your heart condition? I mean, is that what it says about you? Are you generous? You know, I have my own philosophies there. I've seen God work. I've seen when people live as if God is a plentiful God, and again, not a frivolously wasteful, but just a good God. What's a dollar to God? Not yet. It's irrelevant, right? He doesn't care. It's all his, he said. He owns everything. It's all his. So why act like it's not? Why act like it's all yours? But it's, you know, we do have accountability, and I kind of keep going back and forth on that. But be sure to live as if you trust in the Lord. You know, it's okay to enjoy life and to enjoy the good things of life. There's nothing wrong with that at all, whatsoever. But, you know, as long as you're living within your means and all that, that's just awesome and wise. It's common sense, right? So, anyway, some people, like I said, always try to get the best bargain and the best bang for the buck and the best deal. And if you're that person, how's that worked out for you? You always try to buy everything as cheap as you can, and you just end up with accumulated piles of stuff. I was a banker for years, and I'll tell you, folks, this last weekend, like I said, was working with some family members on some different things, and last night, I was talking to my wife. And I said, the younger generation thinks they can Google everything. No matter how much information enters the web, one thing you'll never be able to Google is life experience. And there's a lot of it. I mean, my daughter was going to have some guy come to her house and, you know, pick up 150 of these huge concrete blocks and back his trailer into a huge backyard. The grass is wet and soggy, and, you know, the gate's small, and I stopped and I said, you're going to have ruts all over your yard, you're going to destroy all this, they're going to be spinning out and burning everything up, and, you know, I'm probably not finished taking the product because it's so overkill, huge. And she's like, I didn't think of that, and I'm like, that's life experience. You just learn things, you can't Google that. There's a ton of stuff. I have another relative that had a job making a really substantial, almost unrealistic income. And he didn't like his, you know, his boss or whatever, and he quit while the income's falling, and it became a thing of pride, and now he's struggling with regret. Because once you pass through that wall, that's, then you see it from the other side looking back and you're like, well, this doesn't look or feel like I thought. You know, it's like when you really get fed up with someone and you just want to let them have it, and even in a relationship, and you burn the relationship, you're sitting there in pain. You're like, yeah, I didn't see this pain coming. This is what people do in divorce. They focus so much on what's wrong with another person. It's called fault finding. It's evil. That is not the spirit of the Lord. Fault finding is not a virtue. And if you find yourself in that situation, you need to speak positive, think positive, look for good in people. People have issues. But the judgmentalism and the self-righteousness is destructive. It absolutely destroys us in whole. We need to have a spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, the fruits of the Spirit. That is the spirit we need. Proverbs tells us over and over, be wise, do this, don't do that. What happens, every one of us has to go out and step out, try to mess up and make mistakes and fall down and skin our knees. And at some point, hopefully, we're like, okay, I don't really need more of this. What I really need is to avoid the chaos. When it comes to life experience, or which is wisdom, it's you avoid chaos, hard times, frustration, etc. Buddhists, I think, have a saying that said to a thief, everyone's a thief, and another one is, you know, they have this curse, may you have an interesting life. In other words, never be at rest, never be at peace. I've never met anyone who's cheap and tight, who's really got peace. Don't ask me why I'm discussing that today, it just is what it is. You've got to have an abundance mentality, and you got to trust the Lord, but you also have to do what's good. When you're buying precious metals, you are not investing. I repeat, you are not investing. You are transferring your hard-earned income, your work-earned wealth, into God's true money. And that, my friends, is exactly where you need to be. Biden's executive order I recently mentioned is executive order 14067 without the approval of Congress, which is supposedly this, who knows what, some kind of other big spending bill. But buried within it are a few paragraphs, the most treacherous act by a sitting president in the history of our republic. It legalizes government surveillance of all U.S. citizens, total control over your bank accounts and purchases, and the ability to silence any dissenting voices for good. The Democrats, the Democrats are coming for my guns. No, they're thinking much better than that. They're coming for your money. If they get your money, they've got you. They've got you completely in the palm of your hands. And that's the U.S. dollar, folks. In Section 4 of this executive order, the U.S. dollar, by my opinion, is designed to be obsoleted. We're one of the only countries in the history of the world that has not obsoleted our currency. So soon your cash is going to be confiscated, or simply become worthless. We've seen it everywhere. It will be replaced with a new programmable digital tokens or currency. So most people outside the deep state don't understand this. And if my perception's correct, it's the mark of the beast. It's that prevents you, it controls currency, so you can't participate in the marketplace, as Revelation says, and they can shut you down in a heartbeat. It will literally control all U.S. citizens because every digital dollar will be programmed by the government, which means they'll be able to turn on or off not just your money away, but what you can do with it. What you can buy, what you can't buy. They can start to block people, sellers that have improper hate speech or whatever they call it. Disinformation. When you see all this stuff happening with social media, it's not long before these radical left-wing Marxists are applying this. They always see these things as a way to control you. It's not online banking. It's nothing like that. It's nothing to do with crypto. You get like ALC who declared support for government control spyware currency. The digital dollar means the Democrats will be able to punish any contribution, purchase, or even social media comment they don't like, just like the truckers convoy in Canada. You know, when they were like, no, I won't let you buy gas, I won't let you have food. I mean, what's next? This vitriolic hatred. When you walk with the left, he tells us to live one another as we treat others as we want to be treated. This steps starting now. Biden, this new bill 14067 has it in it. He's working hard on it. They've already got trials on the way. And China and Russia have already launched pilot programs for their own digital currencies. in more than half the countries in the world, and almost 90% of central banks are testing and exploring digital currencies right now. It's not a question of will the U.S. implement a digital dollar. It's a question, it's a fact of when. And the answer is, it's already underway. Under Project Lithium and Project Hamilton, the new spiral currency has been quietly tested for several years. There is no stopping this, I'm sorry to tell you, but it's true. We're supposed to have a digital dollar hit circulation by 2023 or 2024 at the latest. It's, I guess, technically not too late if you move your money into metals. You have to preserve your life savings, folks. And asset emancipation, you want an asset, not a credit or a debit. Anyway, you get the point. It's a way we can, you know, precious metals, God, when God tells us that on the day of wrath, the last day, you will be chucking your gold and silver in the streets. When I read that one time, it just opened my eyes. I'm like, Lord, thank you. You made this very clear to me. I mean, he made a way that you can preserve. The Bible says without the mark of the beast, you can't participate in the marketplace. But with precious metals, it's a valuable asset. And God says he stores up the wealth of the wicked to give to the righteous. That's how it happens. When you have assets, real wealth, and everyone else's collapses, I mean, the rate at which our deficit is rising, I mean, Trump had us at like $19 trillion, right? And now we're at 31, heading for 32 trillion. This stuff's going up so fast now. We're at 50%, actually over that, 60% maybe, since Trump got out two years ago. We're making more currency per year than all the previous years combined throughout all history. You start figuring out 60 or 70% of the currency in circulation today has been made in the last year. It is a runaway train. COVID takes your eyes off the target. It gives us all this stuff to worry about, to look at, put your mask on and shut up, and then no one can accomplish anything while they're imposing this madness. This is why they always want mayhem and chaos, buildings burning up, and school shootings, and all this stuff takes the focus off the ball. And I'm telling you again and again and again, precious metals is the answer. It really is. When you look at what's going on in our nation, our world, technically, our economic and political condition, I guess technically made its first big beginning of this big change was at 9/11. Okay? But since then, it's just accelerating faster. And precious metals have maintained their buying power during this, and yet they're still subdued right now. It's a great value. I'll keep it simple. Give us a call, 509-444-0044. And then, you know, you can come in, bring money in, cash out your 401k now. All you gotta do is call and tell them. Do not let them withhold the 20% that they tell you they want for tax. They just sit on your money until tax day. They have no right. And this is an old age game that they do to keep your money back. No, you take all your money out, you put it in metals, you sit there until tax day comes, and then you sell off what you need to pay the taxes. At that point, you're done. You're free. It's yours. No 1099s. No reporting, no nothing. You got it handled. You're under control. It's yours. And that is the most critical component of this whole thing, is freedom. And this country was built on freedom. Our founders put precious metals as a form of money and currency because of freedom, because of liquidity, anonymity, recognizability, fungibility, which means it's all the same anywhere, everywhere, all the time. That's where you want your wealth. You don't, none of this other stuff, you had your run. You had your last run, the big tank hasn't come. I'm not looking forward to it because it's going to hurt everyone and everything, but they have to do it. It's going to be the last swing of the bat to ram us in the new world order. You've got to be prepared, folks. You've got to understand this is the plan. There's no turning back now, I'm sorry, but you can at least protect yourself financially against this. But you can't, don't wait. The values are awesome. God has an open window, I believe, right now. You can secure your wealth in his form of money, his assets, and then you're covered. You're covered, and then you can do, you can serve him in so many other better ways after you've done this. Our government is nothing our founders ever intended. I'm out of time. Thanks again, as always, for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a great evening.